So today we're concluding our Road to the Cross sermon series. We're concluding that. We've been in this since Lent started. And today that's what we're going to conclude that. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 21. So I invite you, if you can and are able, to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of the gospel. That's on page 802 in your pew Bible. Or if you're in your Bible, Matthew chapter 21. When they had come near Jerusalem and he had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt,
the foal of a donkey."
The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be honorable and pleasing to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. It's a familiar story. Now, the kids came in with their palm branches, and didn't the worship committee do a great job kind of getting the mood set this morning? But I started thinking this week, why were those people there? Well, we know why they're there. They're coming to Jerusalem for the Passover, but why were they in the streets waving branches, throwing branches down, throwing their cloaks down? That might have been the only cloak they had. And they were willing to throw it on the ground, so a donkey could walk on it. Then they would have to pick that up, dust it off, and put it back on. Why were they there? Were they longing for the king? Were they desperate to be freed from the Roman control? What had those people there crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord, save us, Hosanna," praises? It's a twofold. It's a praise and it's a cry for salvation. They got most of it right. Jesus was coming to save them. But they also got a lot of it wrong, didn't they? One of the commentaries I read this week puts it this way: when the crowds cry, "Hosanna to the Son of David, and this is the prophet," they use the right words, but they still miss the point. They have all the notes and none of the music. They have their theology straight, but they will end up rejecting Jesus and calling for his death. Matthew is striking a familiar note: knowing the truth is not the same as doing the truth. What one social psychologist said of the university students is also true for the kingdom. It is possible to make an A+ in the course of ethics and still flunk life. You see, the crowds, they wanted a king. They cried out for the king to save us. They wanted to be freed from their captivity. They were being held captive under this Roman control. And they wanted the prophecies to be fulfilled. And I don't think we're that different. I think there's things in our lives that hold us captive we want to be set free from. I think we long for a king. We cry out in our deep inner part of our soul, "Jesus, save us." I think we want the promises of scriptures to be fulfilled. They're wonderful stories. We've heard them since we were little. Some of us, they're still new and fresh. But we hope and we pray that they are true. the crowd that day that Jesus faced was they were filling the streets wanting a king to come in and overturn the Roman authority. But instead, Jesus goes to the temple and he overturns the tables of the money changers. A little bit different than what they wanted, isn't it? They wanted a king to come and make things new. But Jesus curses a fig tree because it produced no fruit. They wanted a king to give the command to fight. But Jesus teaches about the command to love. They wanted a king to give fighting orders to his disciples. But Jesus prays in the garden and tells Peter, put up your sword. They wanted the crown. But Jesus goes to the cross. See, we know the rest of the story. The cries of Hosanna turn into cries of crucify him. You see, Palm Sunday starts this Holy Week. So even in the lectionary reading that is produced, today is Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday, because if we're not careful, we'll go from the celebration of Palm Sunday to the celebration of Easter. But church, there's a whole week of heartache in between. We cannot overlook. There is no Easter without Good Friday. There is no crown without the cross. The crowd got it wrong. They wanted a king on their terms. So I thought this week, how many times do I do that? How many times do I want Jesus to do something in my life as long as it's on my terms? How many times do you do that? How many times have you asked Jesus to bless something or do something that you've already started? It's like, hey, Jesus, I might have got myself in a little mess here. Can you clean this up for me? Rarely do we pray, hey, Jesus, reveal what we're supposed to do. What we say is, Jesus, bless what we're doing. There's a difference. How many times do we want the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, as long as it's on our terms and it doesn't mess up the way it's always been? We want the church, don't we? Y'all love church, don't you? You love your church. I know you do. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. But don't park in my parking spot. Don't sit in my pew. Y'all laugh, but it's true, isn't it? We want Jesus and we want the church on our terms. We want Jesus to bless our career, bless our 401k, help us win our grades, help us in our athletic career, our musical careers, whatever. We want that crown. But there is no crown without going through the cross. Something that I've read so many times but hit me this week is Jesus then stands and he laments, it says. He is heartbroken over Jerusalem. And he basically says, my people, my city, how I long to do so much for you, and you missed it. You missed it. The truth is, Jesus came to do exactly what they were crying in the streets for him to do. They said, save us. But he came in on a donkey to go to the cross, and they wanted him to come in on a horse and pull out a sword. I'm not even going to ask you. I'm just going to talk about me. There are too many times in my life where I wanted Jesus to do something or bless something that I was a part of. But I did not want to make any sacrifice. I did not want to make any commitment. And I certainly did not want to compromise on the way I thought it should be done. So I took that commentary and I kind of wrote it and made it more personal. Is your walk with Jesus full of the right words, but you're still missing the point? We know how to say churchy words, don't we? We know how to post scripture on Facebook and put little bumper stickers on our car. Does your walk with Christ have all the notes, but none of the music? is your theology straight, but deep down your actions reject the truth of the Savior? Do you know about Jesus without actually knowing Jesus? Is it possible that you're making an A+ in coming to church, but you're flunking out on being a disciple? Now, you may be asking yourself the same question I asked myself this week. Palm Sunday is supposed to be about celebrating, and you're being kind of mean. But church, this Lent has been about growing. This Lent, we have come a long way. We've taken on a lot of spiritual practices, and we've had a lot of people's lives improve and benefit from it. I said their lives improved. That doesn't mean their situation improved. See, sometimes your life will improve because you trust Jesus more, but your situation hadn't changed. Your perspective has changed. See, when it comes down to it comes down to surrender. It comes down to trust. I don't want to put them on the spot, but we've got 3 high school males in this sanctuary that are going to be on the ballot to be prom king. Isn't that fancy? One of them striking young, just handsome gentlemen might actually get a crown. I never got a crown, ever. But I know one day I will. I know one day I'm going to get a crown, and I'm going to get and stand in the presence of my Savior forever. But I will not get to that crown without carrying first my cross. I had the privilege this week of going on a date while my wife was at work with my mom. And we went and saw the movie that's out, I Can Only Imagine. And it's a great movie. If you get a chance to see it before it's out of theaters, go see it. It's a wonderful song. But I hadn't listened to that song in quite some time until after the movie. Then I started playing the song on repeat. And I started thinking, you know, those people standing on the street yelling Hosanna couldn't imagine what it would be like to be set free. They probably wondered, they probably imagined, they probably dreamed, they probably longed for Jesus to set them free. And I started thinking, the song's right. I don't know what it's going to be like that day. All I can do is imagine. But church, when we imagine and we start thinking about the glory of that day, it has to transform and impact this day. I can't wait to celebrate one day at the heavenly banquet, the buffet line with no calories, and all of us have our crowns on. But if we're going to be at that banquet, we're going to have to carry some crosses. Let's pray.